All right, let's begin here. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy church. Divine heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 93, the Veneration of the Saints. The image, we have a drawing of the Blessed Mother with her foot on the serpent, the moon beneath her feet. The caption reads, "We pay special honor to the Blessed Virgin because she is the Mother of God and our Mother. God has exalted her above all other creatures. Her intercession is more powerful with God than that of any other saint. No man refuses his mother a favor, so God does not refuse any request of Mary. Christ even worked his first miracle in advance of his time because Mary asked him. Let us all love and honor the Blessed Virgin, for she is our mother, whom Christ himself gave us from the cross." First question, does the first commandment forbid us to honor the saints in heaven? And again, the first commandment, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. And we discussed that in the last lesson. The first commandment does not forbid us to honor the saints in heaven, provided we do not give them the honor that belongs to God alone. Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and veneration of the saints are not opposed to the commandment to adore God alone. We do not worship the saints, we only honor them as the special friends and servants of God. We adore God alone. So, I think I mentioned that in a sermon a little while ago, that it is a false concept for us to say that, you know, the puppy is adorable or the baby is adorable. It is only God, technically, that is adorable, and it is only God that we can adore. Anything adoring anything other than God, it would be against the first commandment and therefore idolatry. So we don't adore the Blessed Mother or the saints. We have veneration for them. It is only God alone whom we adore. By venerating the saints, we honor God himself, who is the cause of their holiness. Without the help of God, they would not have done anything holy. We do not adore saints. Should we not reverence those who reflect God's perfections? So we venerate the saints. Similarly, we honor outstanding persons on earth, but we do not adore them. We give to God the supreme honor and adoration called latria. We render to the saints our veneration called dulia. To the Blessed Virgin we give special veneration called hyperdulia, because she is above all angels and saints as the Mother of God. But even the Blessed Virgin we do not and cannot adore or worship. However saintly, not all the saints and angels together can approach the infinite holiness of God. We show honor to God when we venerate those whom was granted grace to resemble him. Those who died in the grace of God and who are already in heaven, and especially those whom the Church has canonized, are called saints. Before beatification, a very careful inquiry is made into the holiness of the person concerned. Beatification is a step prior to canonization or declaring someone a saint. The preliminary inquiry usually does not take place until at least 50 years after the person's death. Before beatification, two certain and unquestionable miracles must be worked at the intercession of the one whose cause is being considered. These miracles prove his being in heaven. One who is beatified is called blessed. A limited public devotion to him is permitted. Canonization. is the solemn declaration that a person led a heroic life is in heaven and is therefore to be venerated publicly by the whole church. After canonization, a person is called saint. After beatification, two additional miracles must be worked at the intercession of the blessed before he can be canonized. Canonization is certainly not a demand for entrance into heaven. The church merely declares that a person is already there. The holiness of the person's life is proved in the strict examination before beatification. The fact of his being in heaven is proved by the miracles worked at his intercession. So the church isn't forcing anyone into heaven or making anyone into heaven. She's just declaring what is already there. And I think too often, especially Catholics without a lot of education or non-Catholics who don't really know the faith, assume that the church is, just by her simple statement, she makes things happen. So they look, why can't you grant this person an annulment? Well, it's not up to me. We have to look at the objective facts. I can't just say there was no marriage. It has to be proven. In the same way, I can't just say that someone is in heaven. It has to be proven. No matter how much I might like to, that is beyond the scope that Christ has placed in our hands. Christ is the judge, but we can say whether he is judged favorably for someone to be in heaven. And we hold out these, basically the four miracles that have been proven beyond any doubt, that have come about through the intercession of someone who has been proven to have led a holy and worthy life. Okay, why do we honor the saints in heaven? We honor the saints in heaven because they practiced great virtue when they were on earth, and because in honoring those who are the chosen friends of God, we honor God himself. While still living on earth, the saints were of outstanding holiness in themselves and did good to others for the love of God. The cause for the beatification of someone does not take place unless such holiness is outstanding and ascertained by competent authority, or unless the miracles worked by the person proposed for beatification are of a most extraordinary character. We venerate the saints because they are the chosen friends of God in heaven. If we are eager to show honor to earthly royalty, how much more should we honor the saints of God, princes of heaven? If we ask for prayers of our fellow men on earth, how much more eager should we be to ask the saints, our friends in heaven? How can we honor the saints? We can honor the saints by imitating their holy lives. The highest honor we can pay them is to imitate their virtues. The saints are models presented by the church before our eyes so that we may know how to live according to the desires of God. By praying to them, we honor them, by praising them in word and song and asking for their intercession. We may pray in private to anyone who we believe is either in heaven or purgatory, but we are forbidden to give public veneration to anyone who is not beatified or canonized. By showing respect to the relics and images, we also give the saints honor when we celebrate their feast or take them as our patrons and models. Okay, little note here, we do know that the baptized infants who have not committed a sin are definitely in heaven. So we can often privately pray to the infants who have deceased after having been baptized. We have relative certainty that they are in heaven, but we have not obtained the necessary miracles, and so the process of canonization has not taken place, and so therefore we cannot publicly venerate them or their relics, but the private devotion is permitted. Obviously, we would not want to a notorious sinner, or someone whose life was not commendable, we don't want to honor them as saints or even in our private devotions, but to perhaps pray that God will have mercy on them or that they may be in purgatory is not out of place. We can pray to those in purgatory. I think I covered that before there, but yes, even if someone is in purgatory, it is not out of place for us to pray to them and ask their intercession. And if they cannot obtain it while they're in purgatory, they have been assured that they will get to heaven. And so therefore, they are among, I guess you might say, the beloved of God, and they are very dear to him as the saints in heaven. When we pray to the saints, what do we ask them to do? When we pray to the saints, we ask them to offer their prayers to God for us. This is what we call the intercession of the saints. If we are grateful for the intercession of a friend before an earthly superior, how much more should we be for the intercession of saints before God? How many times have the saints obtained favors from God for men? And God likes this intercession, as he said, he would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah, well, Sodom, for the sake of 10 just men. Pardon me, I put Gomorrah in there, it's not in the text, so. Experience has proved that much is gained by invoking certain saints in times of special need. It appears that God has given to individual saints powers to help us in their special needs. Thus we invoke Saint Joseph as the patron of a happy death, Saint Anthony when we have lost anything, Saint Blaise for diseases of the throat, etc. Many wonderful answers to prayer lead to the belief that the saints take particular interest in persons whose circumstances are the same as theirs were on earth. How do we know that the saints will pray for us? We know that the saints will pray for us because they are with God and have great love for us. The saints in heaven are with us, members of the church, of one body belonging to Christ. So we, the many, are one body in Christ, but severally members one of another. St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 5. Members of the same body give mutual help to each other. The saints help us by their prayers before God. On our part, we honor and imitate them. The Church omits no opportunity to urge us to the veneration of saints. At baptism, we receive the name of a saint. Each day of the year, one or more saints are commemorated. Images and pictures of the saints are placed in the churches. Saints are invoked in the Mass, the litanies, and other public prayers. The Church worships God and honors the saints as friends and servants of God. So churches and altars are dedicated and consecrated to God alone, although named after saints and placed under their protection. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is offered to God alone, although it may be celebrated in memory of the saints. In praying, we say to God, have mercy on us, but to the saints, pray for us, just as we would say it to a dear friend. That concludes the reading of this evening's text. Do we have any questions or comments? No? Looks like I do have a few. Okay, with the Vatican II, we do see that they have basically taken a very lax attitude towards the determination of the sanctity of the person or the demand for miracles, and their declarations of sainthood are not recognized by me or by us. Now, I will clarify that because it very well may be that those they've declared saints are saints in heaven. I'm not saying they are not saints. They have not been officially declared because I don't believe the Novus Ordo has the authority to do so. They are not the Catholic Church. They are not a pope. They don't have the infallibility. So they can't officially declare a person a saint. But as I said before, it's not the declaration that makes the person holy or puts them in heaven. It was the life that they've lived here on earth. And so it may very well be that some they have declared to be saints are actually saints in heaven. It's just that I cannot give that the infallible status than we would to saints that were canonized by a valid pope. And so we do not recognize these so-called canonizations that have happened since Vatican II. I don't know what rules they've changed. It seems like Vatican II has just simply set aside all the rules altogether. I don't know what investigations are being done or what processes take place anymore in the Vatican, but it seems to me that they just get an idea and then say, okay, he's a saint in heaven or she's a saint in heaven. I don't know for sure one way or the other, but it does seem very, I don't know, cavalier in their attitude towards canonizations. It was observed many years ago that their funerals are basically canonizations. They don't wear black at the funeral mass for someone, but they wear white. They don't talk about praying for the deceased because they may be in purgatory. No, they tell us that the deceased is in heaven walking with Jesus, looking down upon us, that there is no need to pray for them. You can pray to them because they are now in heaven, and they want to give everyone this assurance that we are all going to heaven. A very un-Catholic attitude, in my opinion, and I would dare, I've actually mentioned it, that I think it is very a cruel practice to tell people not to pray for their loved ones and to assure them that they're already in heaven, when they may very well be in purgatory suffering until the end of time because no one will pray for them. None of their relatives are going to pray because the alleged priest told them that their loved one is in heaven. They don't need to pray for them, and so they don't pray for them. There's no sacrifice, no prayers offered. Nothing is done for their beloved who have departed this world, and I think this is probably the most cruelest thing that we could do to those whom we claim to love and who we are respecting at the funeral and perhaps long after their departure. Okay, do we have any other questions, comments? We will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.
Thank you, Excellency.
You're welcome.
Thank you.